Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 144. Once again, we are recording remote. I'm here in beautiful St. Moritz. I don't know if, how well it's showing up, but it's a lovely 10 degrees rainy day here, which is summertime. And the boys are back in Boulder. I'm sure it's a little warmer there, no?
It's really hot.
It's very hot here.
So you're on hold in St. Moritz?
Dude, it's the exact same frustrations as last year where I'm wearing a lot of clothes and then you just get really sweaty. And I mean, it definitely does work because it makes the running feel very hard, which is how it feels also when you run in the heat, but you're just really, really sweaty and wearing a lot of clothes. So it's not quite as fun as doing it in the temps that you guys are getting to run in, but go do what you gotta do.
All the time.
Heat training just means you have more clothes to wash. It's so annoying.
Yeah, it's not really worth it. But I mean, hopefully it's worth it, actually. I'm not going to say that. It's definitely going to be worth it when we get to the Paris starting line. And it's probably like 30 degrees there and everyone else is shitting themselves. So hopefully it'll all be worth it.
Except for the Africans.
Hopefully it'll all be worth it. Yeah, they love it. It's cold for them.
Yeah, it's a bit cold.
But happy 4th of July to everybody. That is a big holiday, not for us.
These colors don't run.
I love that. I feel like we always find a way to avoid 4th of July. You guys are both traveling tomorrow on July 4th, and I'm over here in Europe. So once again, we're dodging it. But happy 4th of July to everyone that celebrates. Drink a PBR.
I've started seeing trucks in Boulder with like the huge American flags like flying out the back. There was a double.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, I saw that one.
They had like two flags on each corner, just like the size of a freaking bed sheet.
Massive, massive flag.
Feels good. Love America.
America.
Great place.
Greatest country on earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're leaving it tomorrow.
What a shame. But we do have some exciting news for everybody. We're getting some support out of Roll Recovery, a brand which the roots of OAC and Roll Recovery do go back very far. So we're very excited to be working with them on the podcast. They're supporting us for the next month or so. So just a big shout out to them. We'll get more into it in the next few episodes. But I think George there has the R8. Did the R8 Plus, I believe. Great for rolling the noggin. Always biceps, get them going, everything that you need. But we do use a lot of the Roll Recovery products. I feel like every time we do an ad read, I just want to like make a joke out of it. But we do actually love the guys at Roll and we use a lot of their products. And I think we'll get much more into it next time, but definitely go check them out. I assume it's rollrecovery.com. Probably should have done that homework before doing an ad read.
We're rolling into the Roll Recovery collab.
Roll Recovery on Instagram. I know that much, but yeah, we absolutely love the people there. So we're very, very happy to work with them. And just once again, getting to do stuff like this is pretty cool for us because it just helps us to, hopefully be able to use the money to do cooler stuff for you guys. So shout out to Roll Recovery. Thank you very much for the support. And we do have a kind of weird bean shout out today. I don't have the beans on hand. I accidentally left them in Boulder, but it's Julia. I don't know if you guys remember this one. It was snuck in, I think, while I was in Australia, when George did the NAU special. We did the birthday shout out to David in Durham, North Carolina, I believe it was. And Julia sent us a very nice care package of goodies from there. So when we're all back in a couple months, we'll be able to enjoy those together. So thank you very much, Julia, for the lovely goodies, including some nice beans that you sent. But yeah, getting into this one, we have so much to talk about. It is part two of the USA's recap. Hopefully you guys aren't all burnt out on that. I mean, you guys there, I guess the people from USA's are back now. They're probably so over. Like they're probably all just so over USA's, Eugene.
Like the last couple of days, it was still so good. Like the, especially the last day was amazing, but I was so ready to have a break from watching track after like 10 days straight.
It's, like, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Need something else to do in my evening.
Emotionally?
Emotionally, it's a lot. Even like not being there, obviously being there, you just are way more emotionally attached, I imagine. But the funny thing too was the American, this just went for so long to the point where it got to the weekend and then like all the Europeans national championships are happening at the same time. So it's like even more track just layered on from all the track we've seen in the past week. So it definitely made us feel like, wow, this is definitely a lot to process mentally, mentally draining, but it was very exciting. I thought it was pretty cool.
Can't wait to recap that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we also do have the results of our big, big prediction contest coming in. So stick around for that. Yeah, it's very exciting results coming in. We had a very, very good fan that actually went through it all and collated the results and did the like the points tally for us. So we'll get to that shortly. But before that, we'll do a little check-in, and that'll kind of lead into some other interesting things. So personally, I am in St. Moritz right now, and the boys, I mean, the whole team will be here in the next week or two. So we're all kind of filtering in. But before coming to St. Moritz, I did get to take a trip to Italy, to the coastal town of La Spezia, which was a beautiful little Italian town. Terrible for running. I don't know where in Italy. I mean, there are obviously some places in Italy that are good for running, but lots of the places that you end up going to are not very good for running. So that was a bit of a grind. But I was there for the Italian National Championships to support Cinta. And essentially, the way it played out, Italy does have a very good track team, but they're more similar to Australia, where in most of the events, if you have the standard, you're probably like you're going to go to the Olympics. However, in the women's 1500, which Cinta was in, that was one of the events which had, I think, maybe five of the women would qualify either on by having the standard or on rankings. So that was a pretty high stakes one. And in the end, I think it did come down to being a case of, you know, if you're top three at the trials, you'll get picked for the Olympics. Like that was just the easiest way for the selectors to, like there wasn't any other way for the selectors to really choose between the women. So it was a very, very important race for Cinta, obviously. And long story short,
spoiler,
proud boyfriend over here. She had an amazing race. She came a close second, 4:05, closed very well, and beat some great competition. And it's not official yet, which that's the story for Ollie and I as well. We'll get into that in a second, but not official yet. But looks like she probably did enough to qualify for the Olympics. So it was absolutely huge, and I was just very happy to be able to be there and support her for it. Whether it went good or it didn't go good, obviously we wanted it to go good, but just such a, you know, one of those moments in life that you know is going to be so pivotal, such a potential turning point. So yeah, I was very happy to be there to support her for it. And hopefully the good news comes in of selection. And at the exact same time, our teammate Mara was racing at the Spanish Champs. I think the races were within maybe half an hour of each other. And he secured a third place in a very competitive 1500 and also actually has been already, I think, officially selected.
Yeah.
Came out just today. So congrats to Mara as well.
Vamos.
Pretty huge. Vamos. So as I mentioned, that's some great results from our European teammates. Ollie just asked me right before the pod, hey Morgan, do you know like when we actually find out if we're getting selected? You know, I'm sure it is if we read the criteria, they probably say, right? Like in the nomination thing.
I thought it was the third, and then I was told it was the fifth, and then I was told it's the seventh. So I can't remember what it is, but I'm sure it's in the next week from what I am getting feedback from, which is obviously like, you know, that's just the way the selection it goes, but it's never fun waiting when you see all your teammates get selected. You kind of want to know, but you know,
yeah,
find out soon. Hopefully,
building anticipation.
Yeah,
yeah. I think it should. Latest, I would say, would be the seventh, but hopefully, it's before that because we know the seventh is when the final road to Paris gets published. But I think that that means that countries have already kind of decided like who they're sending in specific events and who they're not sending, if that makes sense. So maybe the first round of selections is actually like before that. So hopefully we find out before that. But yeah, so I'm here now in St. Moritz, beautiful St. Moritz, clocking some big sessions in, 25 by 400 solo out in the track here this morning. Jingi watch, I did see Jakob running today. He was running at about 12:30, if anyone was wondering what time of day he trains at. Pretty late.
Did you say hello? Did you say hello?
You know, I didn't, because I saw him from about 100 meters. I thought about yelling out to him because, Jingi! You know, yeah, like we're really close, and he probably is actually sad that like he missed me, but I was like, I'll probably just run into him again tomorrow and we'll probably hang out or something in the hot tub or something. So
yeah, yeah.
Go for driving his Ferrari.
Yeah.
You got it up there?
Is his Ferrari over by the track there?
Yeah, yeah. You know, he just does laps around the track. Just he can't get enough of it. So when he's not running on it, he likes to bring the Ferrari out. But yeah, I'm sure I'll catch up with him in the next couple of days or so. Ask about the baby. See how it's all going.
His godson.
Yeah, you mean my godson. I mean, daughter.
Godaughter.
It's Philip. Philippa.
I forgot.
But yeah, so that's what's going on. That's what's going on with me over here. I'm very excited for the rest of the team and the boys to come join me. But guys, can we get a little boulder check in? I know you guys have been just taking off some good training there as well. Ollie?
Has anything changed in St. Moritz?
Do we have anything to look forward to?
Anything different?
No
coffee shop? No. New coffee shop?
No. Not that to be honest, I haven't been very adventurous. I've gone from my doorstep to the track and to the grocery store. That's about it. So I can just confirm that those things still exist. The track has, actually, I take it back. The track has a speedometer now on the backstretch. So as you're running your 400s in 68, you can get the really, really important and useful information that you're running about 21 Ks an hour. Money well spent.
I'm trying to decide, maybe that is useful, but why didn't they should change pace? That'd be so useful.
That would be very useful.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at it. I was like, I hope they didn't spend that much money on this, because I don't think, I don't know how any athletes are really taking advantage of it on the track while they're doing their sessions, but you never know.
I'm pretty sure 20 kilometers an hour is 5 minute pace, I think.
So we could.
So if we're doing 5 minute miles, that could actually work.
So that'll come in handy. We'll start cranking them out.
Shit. I think that's the only one I know off the top of my head. Because that's what I've seen on the treadmill.
I'm pretty sure in a news article one time I read that Usain Bolt runs about, like, in his 100 world record is running at about 44 or 45 Ks an hour. So that's also a good one to know in case we get close to that.
We should try, like, break the record. I mean, not his record, just like, I don't know. We should just, like,
they should have a record list, and then we can, like, kind of break it for the speed.
Just on the track, like, who's hit the fastest top speed?
100%. That'd be hilarious. Get Yard to do it. Yeah.
But yeah, same old, to be honest, unfortunately. No, but it's actually nice here. I have a very positive attitude, and I think we're going to have some amazing training here.
That's really important.
One thing I do, obviously, this is Coffee Club podcast. I need to figure out my coffee situation in St. Moritz, because I don't have...
I was thinking about bringing
We're not in the beautiful on apartments this time, and they have like those very nice coffee machines. So we're going to kind of have to figure out our own coffee situation. So
I think we could probably
sneak in and grab one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could do like a night mission.
When we desperately need caffeine, we'll go at night.
We put some like balaclavas on. We break into the own apartments.
Make coffee and then leave.
Well, I was thinking we steal a machine.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah. We at least should set up a camera just to make sure that they're being used, because wouldn't that be the worst if like one of them's there and just not even
used? One of the machines was with Farkin and Mills, and that was getting a lot of use. I know that. And then the other machine wasn't getting as much use, but I guess we'll figure it out when we're there. But that's the one thing I know it's always tough every time I go to St. Moritz is that there's no coffee shop. They got a We got to talk to On about that.
So we should bring some beans, maybe at least.
Yeah,
and we could just chew them or something.
Yeah, just
that's like, what I'm doing.
That's like, that's coffee and samaras.
Yeah,
just chew a handful of beans. Tastes the same.
Tastes the same. Yeah,
that's what I did before the workout this morning, and it worked pretty well. So
nice,
smart.
Yeah, it was tasty.
I got low expectations. That's how.
Are you bringing a little like AeroPress or?
Oh, I could bring
AeroPress. Because I don't have.
I have a travel AeroPress actually.
I need a. I need something. I need to like buy a travel because you can get those mini. What are those beautiful little cafe things?
Like a mini mocha pot.
Like a mocha pot. Mocha pots are pretty good.
They're not bad to travel.
That's what I have. I'm doing it old school. I have a hand manual grinder and a mocha pot. So and I brought some beans. So that's what I got going on.
I'm just expecting my suitcase to be very full.
I might have to go to the, where can you buy a mocha pot from in Boulder? Probably somewhere, right?
You can buy them here pretty easily as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe I just wait.
They're in Coop. They have them.
Oh, really?
In Coop?
Huh. Yeah, upstairs.
Probably only
250 bucks, francs. Probably. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Or when you go to Kievan, it probably costs about $10 there. So you could buy one there.
€10 yeah. In Kievan or 200
francs. Yeah,
I think that sounds right.
Yeah. All right.
We'll work on that.
Coffee chat ended. So it's been good here in Boulder. Like nice consistent training for me. Me, George, obviously Yara is back now, but with George and I in particular have taken advantage of the heat. Got a lot of heat training in the past few weeks, which I think has been great. We're going to get to St. Moritz and lose it all. But that's been pretty nice training with George and just spending as much time with little old Gussie, CEO of the podcast, as much as possible because he'll be gone for a very long time. Shout out to intern Avery Casillas. He's going to be looking after him, the CEO, for pretty much the whole time I'm in Europe. So shout out to Avery. Thank you very much. The CEO will obviously be forking the bill for that one, but
he pays his own way.
But yeah, no, it's been pretty nice here. I'm definitely at a point now with the training that I'm very excited to race whatever race that I do. I know I'm still waiting to hear back from Monaco Diamond League. I know my agent Ray and Dathan feel pretty confident with it, but you just never know with these Diamond Leagues sometimes. So I'll either do that and then I'll race Lucerne as well. Or I'll do Lucerne and then London Diamond League. So we'll try and do like a two-race stimulus kind of thing leading into Paris, which will be pretty exciting. So that's my little update.
Very lovely. Is Lucerne before London?
London's the 20th and then Monaco's the 12th. So Dathan just wants to be able to do a race kind of like.
Lucerne's the 16th, I believe.
Yeah, so it would be 12th to 16th, 16th. Or it'd be 16th to 20th. He just wants to.
But I thought London was later.
London
is it the 20th? Is the 20th?
Yeah.
Are you running Lucerne? Wow.
Yeah, I'm running the 3K there.
Ooh.
I think Lucerne is one of those meets that is a little bit hit or miss. But I think this year, I think it might hit. I think it'll be pretty stacked just based on how many people are up here. And so far, I've asked one person if they're racing it, and that was Dominic Lobalu, and he said yes. So I have 100% hit rate on, on if people are racing it. So based on that, everyone's racing it, so it should be really good.
Actually, a 3K a few weeks out, that sounds pretty ideal. Actually,
that's very ideal. I think that's a great lead in
to the 5K.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
Dominic there, you know, you don't need anybody else really. You and Dominic could just run it, and there could be no one else in the field. It'd still be a quality race. So.
Try win a diamond.
Yeah, try and win a diamond, which Yared, I remember, got. Well, how much was it worth, they say? It was like a couple of thousand.
900, I think.
And then he went to an appraisal rate, and it was like $200 or something, $25. And he was like so upset about it.
Yeah, instead of winning a diamond league, you win just a real diamond.
And the funniest thing about that, too, is his agent took 15% of what they valued it at. So it didn't.
He lost money on that race.
I think he still kept it. I think he was going to make it into an earring or something.
You may as well keep it at that point. Ray will come with a hammer.
take off 15%. But
I guess if it's a real diamond, you shouldn't be able to break it, right?
Yeah, you should be pretty.
I don't know how that works.
I'll go win one and then we'll find out. How about that?
Yeah, yeah, there we go. There we go.
Only 15% of that tiny little rock.
Yeah. It's like the funny thing, like you win a car, it's like Ray's just going over, just taking out like a seat from the car. like if you won like in Paris, they like you win like some sort of car, you just see Haas in the corner trying to yank a seat out of the car.
And he says there's no roof on it.
Yeah, there's no roof. His house is like, oh, I just put it on my car back in flag. So. But yeah, that sounds exciting.
I wish we had a race where we could win a car.
And they used to have that back in the day, right? I think they did. I think I heard.
I'm sure Ritz City won a car.
I think Joe's mum won a car. Janice Klecker won a car once in a marathon or something like that. I don't know.
Good old days.
Make it happen. I mean, a lot of those big car companies do sponsor. Like, I think BMW sponsors the Berlin Marathon. Might be making that up, but I think they, and Toyota, Penn Relays.
Toyota.
What's, Penn, you know?
How does this
make it happen?
Have a car sponsor at this point.
Well, we got to talk to hero Elon Musk and see if we can get a Tesla sponsorship.
We should reach out directly to Elon, I think.
Either that or we should try, like, sort of like, what's the worst car company you can think of?
We could get like a little Fiat Panda.
Yeah, Fiat Panda. That'd be
coffee club colors. That'd be amazing.
A Fiat 500? I would buy that. Yeah. So cool. Fiat 500's rock.
We should just get three of those and like, and that has our little names on it, like Textbook George on the side of it. And, you know, Chicken Boy Mall.
That'd be amazing.
That, and we just tried to practice in that. And Jason's just gone, what are you driving? What is that?
All right, that's a new dream.
That's a new dream for the podcast.
If we all win the Olympics.
Tom, get on it.
We'll just buy them.
Yeah.
But we'll otherwise,
if we all win the Olympics, I expect us to park our Ferraris next to Jakob.
A Fiat is like a mini Ferrari. They're both Italian.
Yeah.
They're both small and could be red if you wanted it to be.
Yeah, yeah. You can
make
they it
both red. Start with F.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing.
Yeah, you're pretty much right. Yeah.
Fiat, Ferrari, what's the difference?
No difference.
Can't tell the difference at all. But, George. You're racing a little sooner than the both of us, huh?
Yeah, I am. I am indeed. My build up is into a race. It's kind of been the plan was to have a month, kind of a perfect month training block between Stockholm and the next race, and then another month between leading up to the Olympics. But as everyone was aware, I got very sick at the last couple of races in Eugene, and ended up dealing with that for basically a month. Kind of turned into bronchitis, and so I was having symptoms for probably 3 or 4 weeks, and I probably didn't sleep through the night for almost 4 weeks, just having like coughing fits every single night for the few weeks after once I got back, and that made training not super enjoyable, and coupled with that just like the I don't know, just being sick and having that kind of inflammation in my lungs and the rest of me made it kind of seem like I had just like a constant level of inflammation in my body and my system. I don't know how it works that, running was, pretty uncomfortable and still is for just this whole training block. Like I haven't, which has been really frustrating. It's been a really tough training block in that sense. Just been really hard to feel good. And I probably wouldn't be able to say I had a workout where I felt good since before Prefontaine, probably. Just in a constant state of on the edge of I don't know, kind of being injured but not injured, like training but being in pain, basically. which is why I went to Eugene for the trials. That wasn't just a joyride, as much as it also was enjoyable to be there.
You weren't going to run the steeple final there? I thought that was word on the street that you had
I tried,
changed allegiance.
Tried to get in, but I went out there to get some treatment and try and get my body sorted out. And I had a couple of good days and felt like I was making some progress. But just the last week being back here has been really difficult again. Just running in a decent amount of pain, which is frustrating. And so just running a little less and just been altering workouts, what feels like just every single workout, basically, since almost every single workout since I got from Europe, which has made it, not super enjoyable. But I have sorted my chest out. So the bronchitis is gone. So breathing has been feeling good in the last probably 10 days. So feeling a lot better about that. And now I'm sleeping good. So feel like I'm recovering a little better, but still just, really struggling with my body. But that's kind of the way things go sometimes. And it's just a different approach into, I'm basically trying to approach this next race the same, in that, I felt like at the end of May, I was in, what I thought was probably, 3:47 and 8:05 shape, and, probably in the best shape of my life. And then, just been a really tough month of training, but I've still been training. It's just been difficult. So, it's not like I got unfit all of a sudden. It just feels bad. So
let's call it a long taper. Why don't we just do that?
Exactly. So I'm still confident that, but I can race well off it, and then hopefully get my body sorted out in Samaritz and feel good in a month's time. But yeah, racing, me and Ollie both leaving tomorrow. Ollie to Samaritz, but George is flying straight to Paris for the Parisian Diamond League Sunday afternoon in Paris. And I'm pretty excited about it.
Both flying business too, so it's business. It's business trip time. We're both business boys. It's crazy. And then, I think Rich is sitting at the back of the plane in coach. So
because he's a coach. I don't think I've met anyone more invested in flying in business than you, Ollie. Like,
it's all business.
No one talks about it more.
George Beamish is going to Paris to perform some business. Dathan Ritzenheim, the coach, he flies in coach. You know what I mean?
He does. Or tries to.
He tries to, yeah. But no, it's a nice thing. I think it's nice for you, George, because you've had this long taper. And I think when you fly and you're flying comfortably, you can get some sleep. It's really going to help with that recovery time. And that's what matters.
It is nice when you
protecting
go in,
the body.
It is nice when you go in 2 days before, because I'm arriving Friday and racing Sunday. So a bit of a quick turnaround, but
it is important.
Sleep.
It worked well in Monaco last year. So kind of doing the same thing in that regards. And yeah, one last steeple before the Olympics. And hopefully it'll be a good head out.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with us is we always want everything to be perfect, but it never is quite perfect. And I think you really find out what you're made of when you go and race, when things aren't perfect, as you've already had to do last time. But that's just the reality, And I think, you'll go there and I'm sure you're going to have an amazing race, and then you're just, hopefully it'll be all like momentum from there leading into the real important thing for the Olympics. So yeah, I think, where you and I especially are very, I don't know if I would say perfectionist is the right word, but I think we like to optimize every single day.
Me too.
Always. Sorry, I don't know why I left you out of that. I'm sorry.
How could we have forgotten it?
Were you saying I don't perfect things? I just rock
up. No, I'm saying that George and I worry about it.
I don't worry about it as much.
You worry about it less. Well, George, it's something that I think is very much in our minds. So it's something that...
So two of the three of us are very mature about that sort of stuff, and one of us is pretty oblivious of thinking about things that are more important.
Not what I'm saying, but I did have a look at the steeple field, George, and while there's no El Broccoli or Germa, there's like so many people. So many people are like wanting to run this one. It looks like a very deep field, huh?
Yeah. I mean, there aren't a lot of steep opportunities, and this is the only, you know, the only other Diamond League within 2 months of the Olympics. And yeah, no El Brock and no Germa. Which says what, and that happened in Monaco last year too, and then all of a sudden I was like, I'm gonna freaking win. That's still really hard. But the Kenyans are out in force, which is not unexpected, but the Kenyan steeplechasers have been quite quiet this year. In Stockholm, there was not a single Kenyan on the start line for whatever reason. I don't know what they've been up to. I think they probably raced in Doha and Marrakesh, but now there's five all of a sudden. So big contingent. I don't even know who made the team either. That's like, I know we talk about Kenyan trials and like the 8 and the 15, but
I think the steeple wasn't run.
I don't know what happened.
I don't remember talking to Kip about it, but yeah. It'll be interesting to see how they go because this is their first race, right? Like a lot of the Kenyans.
What's also surprising is they don't, the guy who won Europeans is not running, like the French guy. Would have thought he'd be like some kind of.
That is real weird, actually.
I assumed he would be like the headline in the Paris Diamond.
It's really odd that there's only one French guy in it, yeah.
One French guy who has run 8:13. Maybe, did they go 1-2 at Europeans or 1?
Yeah. 1-2, I'm pretty sure.
There were two really good French guys, so maybe it's the other guy. Yeah, five Kenyans, still a few good Ethiopians.
George Bemish?
Me. Kind of a big field still.
The Tunisian from...
From
Tuscany Camp.
Tuscany Camp. He's been running really well. He ran 18 in Stockholm. Our boy Ruji, Japanese guy. He's very good. And then one American, Anthony Rotich. And what is nice is that, like, what I was hoping for is that it wasn't going to be a world record race, which is what happened in Paris last year. Don't come in 7:52 shape.
Hey, you never know.
And that's just like, that's no fun. I don't want to be.
You never know. Neil Gawley went into the pre-Diamond League after like 4 weeks of running on the ground. He ran 3:47. So you never know. Long taper, 7:30.
It could be the secret.
I wouldn't rule anything out. You could run.
I'm gonna rule the world record.
You could win a tactical race in 9 minutes, or you could win a race and run 7:30. I don't know. I've seen him do.
I agree.
No limitations.
The best tapers are the ones that aren't planned.
Yeah. No limitations for George Beamish. I reckon they
maybe I should come to Luzerne though, running flat 3K. That sounds kind of fun.
That does sound fun. I should.
Yeah. Maybe we'll talk to the boss.
When are we gonna do a coffee club race where the three of us are in the same race? Maybe. And then our fans make bets on who's gonna win.
Have you not heard of Sound Cross Country?
Oh, Sound Cross Country! Oh my god. Shut up.
Throwing it back.
We're going back.
One other thing that's cool.
I don't even know if you heard, but Olivia, a new teammate.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Also got into the women's steeple just like 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Which is crazy that there's a men's and women's steeple at the same meet.
Yeah, it's like steeple showcase.
It's like unheard of in the Diamond League.
You don't see it happen too often.
Yeah.
So that's
and this race is also very stacked as well.
Which one? The women's one?
The women's one, super stacked. Good old Beatrice is in there.
Chip Coach.
It's crazy to see the 8:44 PB next to her name. Isn't that just so intimidating? But lots of good athletes in this one as well. So Olivia, is this, I guess she raced the trials, so it's not her team debut at all, but
no.
First, like normal pro race, just doing like normal pro things now, just like that.
I assume her first Diamond League.
Mm.
And her first race. So. I mean, she was about to run so fast at the trials and probably make the team, but for a tough last water jump. But kudos to her for running so hard that her legs were given out under her.
Yeah.
But we'll get to the recap.
I guess, yeah, that's later in the episode. But I think, as we said earlier, like everyone's a little bit burnt out on the track. So this meet is kind of snuck up on me at least a little bit. I was like, wow, there's a big Diamond League happening. this weekend. It's on Sunday, I believe. But I think there'll be some pretty good events. There's a men's 800, which is a Diamond League 800. They didn't have a field posted yet, but I assume that'll be pretty good. There's randomly a non-Diamond League men's 3K. There's a flat 3K as well, I believe. And then there's a super stacked women's 1500. It's got 18 women in it, and I mean, Faith women. Is in it. Yeah, and it's headlined by Faith, and just absolute heavy hitters across the board. I don't even think we could go through the list because there's just too many. But representing Australia, we do have Lyndon and Jess Holler both doing it. So that'll be a sick race as well. So overall, I think will be a very, very cool meet. Continuing all the amazing track action, huh?
Last year, wasn't Paris the one they had like 3 world records?
Mm.
I think it was Germa, Faith, and Jakob Jingi all broke world records in Paris last year.
Oh, Jakob's is a world best. Jakob's is a world best.
You're right. You're right.
Guys.
Wait, which record did Faith break at Paris? 5K.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. She ran with G'day, and then we're thinking G'day is going to get the world record, and then Faith just dropped the absolute hammer last 300 meters. It was insane.
And the weather is looking
primo.
Yeah, it's not heat wave like typical Paris.
This was the 2 years ago I went, and it was the hottest day ever recorded, I think, in Paris in June. It was like 110 degrees or something, like 40 plus degrees. And I was in that 5K, and like a couple of people left track in wheelchairs. but
you didn't, George.
No, I don't know how I didn't. But anyway, this week, 70 degrees and cloudy as the high.
That's big.
So let's celebrate.
We'll take that.
Especially because they moved the meet to the afternoon. So it could have been kind of rough. Yeah. Like it was the meet, and now I'm racing at like 4 p.m.
Perfect, perfect.
So
not bad. Not bad.
Degrees Celsius, clouds. And then time to, I don't know, look at the...
Time for go for a swim in the sand.
The pointy tower afterwards.
Yeah.
Maybe a dip in the sand.
Yeah, dip in the sand. I heard it's pretty
cool. I heard it's pretty good this time of year.
It's really
nice and refreshing. Yeah. Everyone's been talking about it recently. I don't know why, but it must be good.
If it's in the news, it must be good.
Worth a dip.
Worth a dippy.
Yeah. Go enjoy some croissants. Some croissants.
Some croissants.
Croissants.
Johnny croissants.
That'll be fun. That'll be very fun. Tour de France. I mean, the Tour de France is not going to be close to Paris, actually. Damn it. But
that's the end of Paris. Isn't it the end they go into Paris? So there's nowhere near it yet.
The commentators on the tour had a really good roast. I mean, do you think French people are prideful of their coffee? Probably not. So maybe this isn't actually as much of a roast as like I interpreted it to be at the time. But so the tour started in Italy for the first 3 stages. And then I think in the 4th one, it ended in France. And the commentators, as they went across, they said, and the riders can say goodbye to good pizza and good coffee as they enter France.
The French would have not liked that. The French would have been cool.
Yeah,
I mean, take pride in their coffee.
They don't, but their pizza is like in food. They take pride in food and wine. Food and wine are massive. Wine, right?
I don't know.
I just found that so funny.
That is a dig. I do enjoy.
Dig.
I like the tour.
So, they are the guy has done it for hundreds of years. Yeah, the main guy. Forever. Yeah, he's like one of the best commentators in sport, in my opinion. He's so good.
He's 100.
He gets your goosebumps going when they're finishing the stage.
Have you guys been following? Because it's already been fireworks most days.
I've only been watching highlights, but that's catching up after seeing results. So I get spoiled and then I watch the highlights. So it's probably not a great way to watch it. But
I've been watching the morning. We leave. We have to go to practice like right when it's about to end. So then I rewind and rewatch the end.
Did you see what happened today?
Unfortunately, I just saw it, but I'm going to go watch it after so I don't see anything else. I'm already mad that I saw it.
It's just, Ollie, I'll fill you in. Mark Cavendish won today, and he broke the record for most stage wins, 35 wins, taking the record. He was tied with Merckx before the record, and now he's sitting on top on his own. And boy's 39 years old.
The first few stages, he was like kind of...
He got heat stroke on stage one.
Yeah, he wasn't doing that well.
He was like puking on the bike.
Yeah, those were tough.
time cut off.
Oh god, I got to go watch the highlights. I mean, honestly, Mark Cavendish is probably one of my all-time favorite sprinters. I mean, that's not a hot take. That's just, he's just so fun to watch. But
he won his first stages back in 2008.
It's crazy,
isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
That's pretty cool. I respect that a lot. But I think we'll do some all these topics that we're about to talk are pretty big topics, but we'll try and kind of rapid fire them. So we do have some time for USAs. But first big news that we missed, Eric Holt signing with Puma. What do we think?
Huge.
Not Puma Elite, just Puma.
No, just Puma. I mean, I think he's staying with Empire, right?
Assume so.
He's so he'll be fine with them, and then he's still with them.
Happy for him.
Very happy for him. Very sad for him on how it turned out with the 800. That was tough.
What a roller coaster.
Because we watched it, and then we saw his reaction to him progressing to the final, and it was just pure joy.
Just
and
a
like,
roller coaster of emotions.
And you get really happy and excited about it. And then I think one of us went on our phones and saw that he had been disqualified, and we were like, what the hell just happened? Because there was no pushing or shoving or... But it was a line infraction or something like that. You stepped on the line.
Only ran
799.9 meters.
So, yeah, that was tough. But he's a very good his interviews are great. It's just good for the sport, you know. He's fun to watch. And, awesome. Great to see you got a sponsorship. I would have been pretty disappointed if he walked away from the trials without any support in some way after all the attention, worthy attention on him. So,
yeah. I'm sure he'll keep this summer.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll be awesome. He was running well. So,
mm-hmm. Josh Kerr, second athlete to sign with the Grand Slam.
I was wondering if he'll get an American in the mid distance section. So, it's great to see Josh Kerr. I mean, he didn't run the trials because he had exemption, but he wanted to make sure that he ripped through the best American out there. And he's taken that spot, one of the spots in the Grand Slam track, which is not surprising. I mean, he's probably one of those runners that is a very, very competent racer when it comes down to it. So exciting.
I'm excited to see him race more competitive 800s.
Yeah, he probably needs to after this past weekend. I think he's a bit rusty.
Should we talk about that?
Well, I mean, the way I looked at it was, it obviously it's 800 racing and that stuff happens, but it looked like Giles was fading and then went a little on the line of lane one, and then Josh is like, oh, opportunity, rushes up, but by the time Josh rushes up, Giles closes him off, and then it just looked like a car crash, boom, straight down, like they hit the ground hard, both of them.
What was interesting is that Josh made a big move on the back straight, had the lead, and then got absolutely swamped by like the half the field. Yeah. No, probably not. Like three or four guys.
The main contenders swamped
him. All went around him. So then he should have just held on to that position.
Well, usually
he was going to make it. But then, I mean, I think they're both at fault, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't think either of them are innocent.
Josh had a good second burst. I think he would have, I don't know if he would have caught the leaders, but I think he looked like he was actually closing really well.
The funny thing about it all, too, is, well, shout out to Pattinson for the win. Congrats. But the funny thing about it is, which is leading into the other topic that's big news, Jake Whitecastle had a medical exemption, didn't run the 1500. That's big news because he won't be selected for the 15. It'll be Josh Kerr, Neil Gooley got the dub, and George Mills will be the three that they send for the UK team. So no Jake Wyman, which is crazy. But for Jake to make the 800 team, he kind of needed Patterson to win and then Kerr and Giles have a bad race. And exactly that happened. Patterson won and Kerr and Giles hit the deck, which is crazy.
But Giles is almost – Giles – it would have been worse for Giles if he had died and finished. But him falling over puts kind of an asterisk on it. You know what I mean?
Who would be in the 800?
Have they not selected?
I don't think they've announced it yet. I guess that'll be in the next couple of days. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up picking Whiteman, but I think Giles will feel pretty hard done by.
Wait, so already selected?
He's run pretty well.
The guy from Max Bergen or whatever his name is.
He got selected as well.
Top. No, so UK's automatic top two. So the top two in that race, Max Bergen and Patterson, are automatic.
So then you got to decide whether you pick Jake or, I mean, I think they pick Jake. I think he's just a better runner.
Oh yeah, also like championship experience, like in success, I think.
Yeah, and he has the fastest time this year.
Yeah, 1:44.10, right?
I
think so.
It's interesting his case, because I guess you have to then also ask, like, how injured is he? Like, how, what did he have to do to get that medical exemption? Like, how much time does he have to take off? And so maybe there's a bit more behind the scenes as well. I wonder, because clearly, I imagine he would have a pretty good relationship with UK Athletics. I wonder
with his dad.
How much, you know, they're talking about these things in a more like casual setting, if that makes sense, you know, behind the scenes stuff.
Sam Atkin, the Atkins brother, also put in medical exemption because he had an irritable bowel thing. So he didn't run the 5K either. So that's also put an asterisk on the 5K, because the guys that were second and third in the 5K have the standard. And then Mills, I think, might have the spot for the 5K as well from getting silver at Europeans, from what I've heard from the street.
Patrick Deaver and Rowe, second and third, they both have the standard. Right? Mills probably security spot. I mean, almost definitely security spot with a medal at Europeans and the standard.
He's run the fastest time this year. I don't know if they're going to maybe leave out whoever got third at the trials, or that's also an asterisk on what they're going to do there. Because he also put a medical exemption saying he had a bowel movement track club problem. And then he also didn't run Europeans, which I think might have hurt him with selection, because I think the UK would have wanted him to run something, you know?
Yeah.
Championship setting.
That'll be interesting.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do there, because that'll be a tough pick too, because he'll feel hard done by if he's not selected as well, running the fastest time for 5K. So that'll be interesting as well. But yeah.
This is all related to Josh signing with Graceland.
this always is the idea of, like, why is Josh Kerr the best American? Well, it just proves that he was at the wrong championship.
That's great signing.
He was at the wrong championship. I think he got his flight mixed up and he flew to Manchester instead of Eugene. I think that was like a miscommunication, but he was able to run the UK champs. They did okay. So it worked out.
Yeah.
And you can also buy his jersey, his race kit. Just if you guys want to go to Brooks Running and buy his race kit,
Can you explain that to me? I didn't understand what was going on there.
Neither did I. I thought it was just a race recap or something. And then it was like, you can buy Josh
Kerr. So he did an Instagram where, like, he was promoting that Brooks is selling, like, his singlet.
Yeah.
Was that? Oh, okay.
I think that was it. That's cool. His, like,
that's gold. Cool.
Yeah, which is cool, but it's also like, you're not going to talk about the four.
Nah, more like important things: money, business, power, etc.
Yeah,
yeah. But
we just need to join the planning now. So we make sure we get the hit and head.
That's the thing. The more they need us. It's the more we go on. It's like, yeah, you guys keep signing these amazing athletes, and now you got to sign some amazing people to race against them as well. It's the only way it's gonna really happen, but yeah. All right, well, shall we do it? Shall we move on to some USAs?
Let's do it.
Mori, have you watched what else, the other thing we said we were going to talk about, but probably not? Have you debuted Sprint yet?
No, I haven't. I just want to say is that I'm boycotting it because Chiqui Chavez isn't in it, so
he's not in it.
I think he's not. So I'm probably going to boycott it. No, I'll probably still watch it eventually, but I'm just scared that I'm going to hate it. I'm scared that it's going to be like so – that they're going to tell these storylines that are so just different from reality, and it's going to be maybe too dumbed down or something, and I'm just going to be like, what is this?
First thoughts from
Flex Mex,
fourth member of Coffee Club Unofficial. He said that it makes Noah Lyles look pretty –
He was trying pretty hard.
Yeah, if you didn't like Noah Lyles before Netflix special, don't watch it because it will make you like him less. Marcel Jacobs, apparently Marcel Jacobs in it is like,
yeah,
he's like the character that everyone's, he's the Daniel Ricciardo. He's going to be the one that everyone likes.
Okay, maybe I'll have to watch it then.
Joe said it's kind of weird because they're like trying to make all these match up and storylines, but the sprinters never race each other. So then they have to like...
So it's difficult.
So it's difficult.
It was the year that Fred and Marcel had the big rivalry, but then Marcel was like injured the whole time. So he kept pulling out of these matchups. So yeah. They were like, I feel like there would have been good matchups, but it just like kept falling through.
Yeah. Fred Curley and Marcel, there was no matchup with there when they were trying to push that storyline. And then Noah just keeps saying that he's going to beat them both, but then never races them. It's like a bit of a weird, it's just very hard to follow in that regard. So I don't know. We'll see. Joe's going to watch it all. I'm going to boycott it because of Chicky Charlie.
We're just going to get it from Wardrobe. It will tell us what he thinks.
We'll have Clicker on the pod and tell us about the review.
And then we'll tell you guys bigger things.
Yeah, because Clicker's got a pretty good thing on it.
Well, I think anyone that listens to the podcast knows that we love Fred Curley. But also, if you've been listening as of late, I think you'll have noticed that we're really jumping on this Marcel Jacobs bandwagon as well. So I think let's just ride that train all the way to Paris. I don't know if you guys, do you guys remember that last year at Zagreb, I got him to do a shout out. He did a shout out to Coffee Club.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. He said, I had my video camera and I videoed him. He said, shout out to Coffee Club. And Cinta knows him because they used to train like in the same area. And she's always said he has like this, you know, kind of cool image, but he's actually just the nicest guy. And there's other people in the Italian teams who, I'm not going to name any names, who are less fun to be around and a bit more arrogant, but he's apparently, despite his success, a very nice, humble, like great guy. So
I'm sold.
Nothing but good things to say about Marcel.
Yeah.
I'll watch it just for the Marcel bits then.
Perfect. Perfect. Right. USA time, huh? So I think we'll just go through all the, do you guys want the results first of the, of no our one. Competition.
I saw the results because I looked on the show notes. So I know the results.
Well, I haven't
okay.
seen it.
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. Let's just recap each. Let's start on day one of part two. Because we already started there with the steeplechase. That was on Thursday, right?
Yeah. So the steeplechase, wow. What a race.
That was crazy.
One of the best races of the week.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It's like... And this was the story of a couple of the other races as well, but it's just the times that they ran, you just don't see women run like those times very often. I think Valerie, her story was amazing coming back from, you know, a very serious injury last season. And, you know, she's got even back further, like her getting onto the 2021 Olympic team was kind of like a surprise for many, I guess. So it's just been amazing to like follow that journey. And she's running 9:03 to win USA's, and 9:03, I think that makes her the third fastest US all time. So just absolutely sick race. And shout out to Courtney Wayman getting that second place on. And she was very strong in the race as well. I think if you, everyone that watching the race, as the steeple often is, especially when there's so much on the line, it can be extremely heart-wrenching, and that's what we all felt for our teammate Olivia, who, as George already mentioned, she gave it everything. And I mean, what more can you ask for? But yeah, when you fall on the last barrier and you're in, you know, third or fourth place, you know, fighting for that spot, like that's just brutal.
Yeah, that was tough. I mean, I think it was really I think it was her water jump that kind of ended up. I think she like never got back running by the time she got to the next barrier, and then just couldn't stand on her feet after that. But it was like that last water jump that her in. But I feel like I don't realize how fast they were running, partly because just few laps, there was just that one girl out in front of everyone. And
Annie Rodenfeld.
You couldn't think about anything else. I felt bad because she did her kind of dirty and like slow mode it. And like Kara is... Goucher as
they
well.
Kept talking about it.
Which was
they need to stop talking about it.
Which distracted everyone from the fact that they were running really fast. And she ended up running like the Olympic standard and came like sixth. But her lead up to the hurdle was absolutely
not ideal for a steepler, right?
It was like this sidestep thing to like make sure she got to the barrier like at the distance she wanted to or something. That looked like that was how her brain was processing it. But that was a crazy first few laps.
Did you see that she said that the reason she went out so hard is because she knew how much she was struggling with the steeples. So she didn't want to be in anyone else's way. Like she wanted to do it on, that's why she went out so fast.
The whole time I was thinking like, this is like, thank God she's on her own. Like if she was doing this in a pack, it would be
crazy.
Yeah. I mean, she ended up running pretty fast. Like not to make anything, but anyway.
Yeah. To round out the Olympic squats as well, Marissa Howard. I don't know too much about her, but I just seeing that she's 31 years old and ran, I think, like a 15-second PB or something to make this team after I think she'd come fifth a bunch of times in a row. Absolutely crazy to be able to crank that out. So, yeah, just a wild, wild steeple race as it at a USA Trials, as they often are.
As they often are.
Yeah, we know that very well.
Good storyline, though. You know, it's always good to see, like, you keep at it, and then she's been rewarded with not just a PB, but she's gone to Olympic Games, and she's an unsponsored athlete too, right? She's with Tracksmith, Tracksmith jersey. So, like, it's always great seeing those, like, those are the stories that you love about the trials, is those people that, you know, mostly pay their own way and have to, like, fight for a lot of things and then get rewarded for it very heavily. So, it's nice. It's exciting.
Was that the final on Thursday?
No, the
10K was on Saturday.
Oh, it was on Saturday? When was the women's people?
Thursday.
And then we had some sprint stuff.
I think we just go through the distance.
Yeah. Women's 10K. Honestly, can I be bluntly honest?
Please be honest.
I wasn't really that interested in the women's 10K. No, Alicia, you know. It's a bit slow. I don't know. I didn't follow it as much, but apparently it was pretty sweet. Obviously Weenie winning it, pretty sweet. Like she been fourth the past few. She was fourth at. Is she fourth in Tokyo? Or am I pulling that out of my ass? she wasn't fourth, but she was in the trial. She was at the trials because she just got her citizenship. I think a couple of days before.
That part's true.
And she was, and it was like a big deal. And she's like, oh, she might make the Olympic team and stuff like that. And I think it was very, very hot, and it was she must have pulled out, or maybe she didn't run as well. But it was pretty sick to see her make this first Olympic team. That's very exciting. So, and then Parker Valby getting second. Is she going to make the team off ranking? Has that been confirmed yet?
No. The seventh.
Everything's on the seventh.
Parker and Carissa.
And then Carissa as
well. I think, but the way they're talking about it is as if Parker has got the standard. She's going to be in on rankings. I think all three of them will go, the top three from the 10K in the end. It's not confirmed, but also it's almost pretty much confirmed that Park will go in the 5K as well.
I can't believe that was not
the ESP is going to run, focus on the 15, right? Not run the 5. Do you reckon that's a good move?
Yeah.
Yeah. The 15 is very, very, very hard. The 5K is also very, very, very hard, but I don't know what's the easier chance to medal in, the 5K or the 15? Probably the same. Probably doesn't matter.
I would say the 1500 based on how she ran at the trials, if that makes sense.
Really? That actually makes me feel less like she got third.
Yeah, but she ran 3:55 leading the whole thing.
I know, but there's a lot of other girls that have been running 3:55, and Nikki.
How many girls have run 3:55 from the front?
Faith.
I think, I guess that would.
That's it.
That would be like saying you don't think Yared, because that's basically how Yared ran.
Basically, yeah.
Like 3:30 from the front and got out kicked.
Yeah.
So actually,
maybe that is a good
point.
Yeah. And the 5K was first too, so she had that in her legs. So this was very impressive.
All right.
10K.
Was that the 10K recap?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I like Weenie winning it.
It was a really sick last lap. It was like the three of them were just absolutely going for it, and Weenie was able to pull away pretty well. And then the fight to the line between Parker and Carissa, which, you know, haven't had to see Parker fight to the line too often.
They tied.
It's pretty badass. It was so good.
They had to go to the thousands to split them.
Oh yeah, they did too.
If they were swimmers, they would have to they have to rerun it.
Is that how they do it in swimming?
If you tie, you have to race again.
Yeah, you do. You have to race again. Yeah,
that's just how. That just shows how easy swimming is on your body. It's just not.
It's that's so true.
Sport. It's still a hard sport. It's just easier to recover from. All right.
What if in the 10K you have to go run another 10K?
Classic. That'd just be the two of them. Classic troll. All right.
Facing off.
10K done and dusted. Congratulations, ladies. Men's 5K. This was a great race.
Well, we should say. So this the Sunday Power Hour, according to many, they're saying it's like the greatest hour ever of track and field. Which
who's saying that? Saturday at London 2012 Olympics when fucking it was like one of the greatest track and field meets at like times of all time.
I don't think it's as crazy to say as you guys think are reacting right now.
I think it is
in the US or ever.
I just ever. Just ever.
It was heavily. Really nice that it was one solid hour of like straight finals and they were all incredible.
Just such amazing races and it ended with a world record.
Yeah, but there was the Super Saturday where in London where like a lot of world records got broken as well.
Yeah, but I mean they didn't run world records there.
At the Olympics.
And that's just if you're British because three British people won on a Saturday.
But you could argue that was probably the best
That a big deal for you, the three British people winning?
I feel like that's a very, very bold claim still.
It definitely is a bold claim.
So I don't know if I fully agree with that. Because I do admit that it was like an amazing hour of track and field. Like
I didn't know it was a thing that people keep track of.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a weird thing to say. But
that's also why I'm surprised. I didn't know that was like a thing to say that there was we keep track of hours that are good.
Well, I think people probably just went through their brains and said, wow, that was an amazing hour of track and field. I can't think of any hour that was as entertaining as that hour was that I've ever watched before.
And so now we will name it Sunday Power Hour. I mean, it was good. It was really good.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was incredible. I don't know.
We watched it at Ollie's house.
Greatest ever. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. It's not that serious. It's not that serious.
I just think it's a very American thing to say, personally. But
tell me how.
I don't deny that it was not epic because it was epic. Every race was pretty epic.
Yeah.
But saying it's the greatest hour ever, I don't know. As a foreigner.
I mean, I can't think of any hour of track and field that I think of as an amazing hour of track and field. So I have nothing to compare it to, really.
Well, but I mean, if you look like...
Could you think of another hour of track and field where it's been such amazing races?
Pre-last year, Florence Diamond League was pretty crazy.
What happened in the hour at Florence?
A woman ran under 350 in the 1500 and then that men's... Sub 13, 5K was kind of insane.
Yeah, but this was more than that, you have to admit.
I'm not saying it's not amazing. I just think saying it's the greatest ever, it's such a bold
thing. It is probably, I will say this, it's probably American people saying it. It's probably people or people like us who have invested.
It's 100% American people saying it. But I'm not going to, that's it. It was one of the, we'll call it Sunday Power Hour. It was pretty.
It's a good name.
Why don't we say it was one of the greatest hours of track and field? One of the greatest. That sounds.
I think you can definitely say that.
Yeah, one of the greatest. greatest ever. I'm gonna say it's one of the greatest hours of track and field. One of the greatest.
All right.
I like that.
Everyone can be happy now.
Can we move on now? All right. Yeah. Men's 5K.
This is such a sick race. Just to see Woody leading the charge, dropping some laps like that.
Woody was being domestique for Abdi, like 100%. I think he sacrificed like three laps for Abdi.
Do you think that?
100%. Do I already thought that when he was out front, but then also when he went back, he looked around, saw Abdi was behind him, swung out into lane two, let Abdi go in front of him, and then went back behind Abdi before.
But. No, I definitely think it could be true, but the other thing that's a big factor is that he doesn't have the standard in the five as well.
Yeah, I did.
So that's what I thought. initially when I saw it, I didn't think he was doing it for Abdi, which now, like, looking back on it, I could definitely see that. But at the time I was like, oh, he needs to run fast if he has a chance at making the team. That's what I was thinking.
True. He did need it to be like, to get enough points probably. He would be decent. I actually don't know what his ranking was like.
But
it was sick to see. The least woody thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, but there were some really good pace changes throughout this race with the back and forth, with the moves being made. And then, of course, Grant Fisher once again going to the front, just starting to absolutely lay it down, get some separation from everyone, except this time there was Abdi there to go along with him.
His ability to run 60s a mile out is
very impressive. Very impressive. Ridiculous. Yeah.
Like 59.
If you're watching it, it does not look like they're running that fast as well, does it? Like they don't look like they're sprinting. So it was amazing. And that was the way that they were going to beat Cole as well, because after Cole winning the 1500, I think a lot of people, rightly so, were like, wow, he's going to be really dangerous in the 5K. But they were just able to just run away from him a bit earlier. And it meant that it was a two-man race, Grant and Abdi going at it. And Abdi, he had the big balls, man. He went around Grant. He went for it.
He did. I'm actually impressed.
I thought he was going to get it.
Yeah, I thought Abdi had it.
I thought Abdi was gonna get it done. I thought he was gonna defend. Mm-hmm. The last 20 meters, mm-hmm. Grant found one more gear, or just didn't die.
And pulls and off third, the big double.
Third place, Parker Valby, Parker Wolf.
That's good.
13:10.75. Honestly, that was pretty epic to see him. He was like running with them.
The college kids are just like
Graham Blanks,
proving that you can just race all the time.
Blanks back,
apparently so.
That cross training must have worked with Gibby, because Blanks was fourth, 13:12. Like the field was freaking good. Like these college kids just crushed it. Dylan Jacobs,
huge run for Dylan Jacobs getting fifth as well.
Yeah,
that was
really Yarrow's
and stuff.
He wasn't up there further. Yarrow's just like, why don't you just get up there? Just get up the front.
It was also really hot and sunny.
It looked like it was a hot, like it looked like it was.
I think it was 80 plus. I think it was 80 plus while this race was going on, which is like not easy to run this fast in.
I can't believe the men's 5 was the first event of the day. Yeah, like, we'll just have it when it's the hottest.
We'll put the 400 hurdles last. We'll put the men's 5K.
We'll get that over with.
I mean, I understand why they put the 400 hurdles last, but that's brutal for those guys, but they ran a freaking amazing race. So do we know if Parker Wolf's in or out for selection?
I think he's 45th. So I think he actually has a decent chance.
Because people might scratch him, right?
But he's on the edge.
Geordie's scratching.
He's right on the edge.
I'm trying to help him. I'm trying to get him to the Olympics.
Either that or it's Blanks.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Either way, one of those two going is pretty sick, but
it's pretty epic.
Parker had the fastest last lap as well. He was catching this guy.
On the back straight, I was like, dude, Parker's going to win this. I legit thought he was catching them. And he definitely closed the gap a decent amount.
He did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's 20 years old.
So who knows? I guess we'll find out in a couple of days. He's only 20 years old, that guy.
Pretty crazy.
Born in like 2004 or something.
That sounds about right for 20. Yeah.
I guess maybe.
All right. Men's 800 was Coffee Club TC's finest race, I think, of the meet.
Was it?
Based on the day.
Obviously not yard. But on the day.
The next race was pretty good for us, too.
Oh, it was, too. I just looked at the next race. Of course it was. Coffee Club TC was taking up the rear here.
Yeah,
Bryce, like, I don't, I've never, like, he looks, he won 142.77, meet record. His last lap was a 51.57, and he looked like he was just, like, jogging. 51. He looked like he was jogging a 51. That dude looks amazing right now. Also, he's got the sculpting face of just, you know, a Greek god.
Chiseled
man. So big fan of Bryce. Shout out to him. That was an amazing race. Second, Hobbs Tesla. Dude, this guy could medal in the 800 at the Olympics. I think we were talking about it at my place.
Our hot take is that we think Hobbs has a better shot at medaling in the 8 than the 15.
I feel like that's not a hot take. I feel like that's legit. I think that's a legit thing. Like 143.64. He looked amazing as well. Beat some really good guys. And then Brandon Miller was the third spot, 143.97. So he had to run 143 to make the team in the 800 for the men. Pretty sick. Pretty sick race. Hobbs looked pretty incredible. He didn't look like he ran three rounds of the 1500. He looked like he was just
I think Hobbs looks better in the 800. I don't know if it is just a physical thing or it's also mental. I think there has to be something with when he runs the 15, I think he runs with a little more stress almost, like a little more tension. I think he's not quite as comfortable in his positioning a lot of the time. And in the 800, running behind Bryce, he looked so happy to be there. You know, it looked very comfortable for him. And banging out 2 1:43s, man, I can't imagine that he even thought that that was going to happen.
No, that's gonna be... I'd love to hear his feedback on it. But he seemed pretty, like, comfortable and content with where he was at. The funniest thing was the commentator was like, it's like, oh, you booked your ticket to Paris. He's like, I'm already going.
I noticed that.
It was hilarious. But
that's kind of bad.
But it was, I mean, the men's day, it was amazing. Shout out to Hobbs Tesla. Not much else to say.
He is going
to
double, right?
I feel like he said that. Yeah, he said, do both.
He said that.
Nice.
Pretty incredible. Yep.
Imagine if we got a medal on both. Wait, what was
the epic
crazy stat? He's the first American to qualify in the 8 and the 15 since 1976.
Seriously. He's also 21 years of age. 21. And also,
that was insane.
If I was Carl Membrane looking at Grand Slam track people and you're looking for an 8 and 15 guy, that would be good for competitive races over a weekend. Hobbs has got the number right now. I think he'd be a great signing for that league.
It's a pretty good bet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Looks incredible. Yep. All right. Probably the race of the distance. Probably the race of the meet. I don't know. The race of the day. For the distance, for sure. Women's 500 meters, 1500 meters.
You crushed that.
I know. Thanks, bro. Honestly, this race was probably the most highly anticipated race for me because I just like could not for the life of me think of how it was going to go down. There was like so many good runners there. I don't know about you two, but I was pretty shocked with how quick they actually ran. I was pretty shocked.
I wasn't surprised Elle took it out.
No, I wasn't surprised by that, but I was surprised that everyone went with her, and it was pretty incredible. To make the team for the women's 1500 meters, you had to run 3:55. That's crazy.
That's unreal.
Like fourth place, Sinclair Johnson, 3:56. That's like most countries' national records. It's 3:56.
Top eight broke 4 minutes. The New Zealand national record broke 4:02.
Like, it's insane. Like, Corey McGee was one of the most consistent ladies to make the team. She ran 3:57. She ran a massive PB. And she was fifth. Like, it was an insane race. Obviously, shout out to Coffee Club TC member Nikki Hiltz. They absolutely crushed it. 3:55.33.
The last 50 is...
Yeah, they yeah.
Likes that.
They had a great post-race chat. I don't know if it was post-race or it was some quote that they said about saying, I'm not thinking about making a team. I'm thinking about winning this race. Yeah, and I think they ran that to win and it paid off. And that time is incredible. Emily McKay was next to her. They're teammates, right? Emily McKay and ESP?
Yeah.
Teammates crossed the line together. Honestly, ESP, like, running solid at the front and still running 3:55.99 PB after running the 5K as well. Pretty crazy. So that was an an amazing race. It was so sick.
It's a good turnaround from, this is what also Vince Ciardi said, a good turnaround from World Indoors. Is that all the three people that qualified in both 1500 teams all got medals in Glasgow.
Mm. Yeah, you're right.
What's that?
So run indoors. That's what I was telling you. Top three?
There's something to it.
Championship racing for sure, yeah.
I mean, Yared, Cole, and Hobbs all got medals.
Pretty insane. Yeah, top eight were under 4 minutes.
Big for Mike Smith Elite as well. Shout out to Mike Smith.
Yeah, Mike Smith Elite. He was not there, but he was dancing in his little cabin somewhere.
Wasn't there? I thought he was there.
No, there's a video of him watching Nikki.
Like, was he just there? He was there at one point, wasn't he?
Definitely
there. He was there at one point, but I think he went back. I don't think he could be there for that long. Because there's a video of Nikki posted on their story of Mike Smith dancing around his living room watching Nikki win.
He was definitely
fact check that.
Wife running the tin gate, and then he was shaking hands with Avdi half an hour before Nikki.
Well,
raced.
Why was there a video?
I don't know. But
he didn't stay for it. He didn't stay. He went to the woods.
I'm guessing.
For Avdi's
hoping. Race. I'm hoping Nikki. They still have the.
One thing I just want to say about this is that I think it has been shown how amazing Nikki is in tactical races. And if you were thinking, well, how am I going to beat them? You would say, let's go to the front, go out in 61 and crank it down. And Nikki showed that they still are just too good for it. I mean, I don't even know how much of a PB that was, but once you run those times and you can close like that, you can pretty much compete with anyone. So.
Very close to Shelbo's, Shelburito's.
The Burrito National Record, yeah.
Area record.
Well, Nikki said that they trained straight through pre and they ran 3:59. So I think they were thinking they were in 57 shape. So, like, obviously they've improved training from there. And anyway, pretty insane. It was insane, right? It was crazy. Like, yeah, just to make that team, you have to run like an insane time.
Probably need to break that if you want a medal in Paris.
Yeah. That's probably right.
I wouldn't be surprised. So that was all the distance races from the meet. A great power hour, some would say.
Yeah. Well, there was a newcomer that came through in the 400-meter hurdles for the women. Newcomer, Sydney McGuckins. They ran 50.65 in the 400-meter hurdles. And they looked like they were jogging for most of it, and then they thought, oh, I'm racing. And then the last 50 meters, they kind of pushed it. But, shout out to Sydney McGuckins. That's going to be a great matchup between them and Peter Bowles, sister, Frankie Bowl. So, exciting stuff.
It's crazy when you watch the women, when you watch Sydney, or a lot of the, pretty much all the top women run the 400-meter hurdles, and they just make it look way too easy, and they're just doing these absolutely crazy things. I believe that was Sydney's fifth time breaking the world record or something wild like that. After, you know, she hasn't been competing in it quite as much as of late. So it's just so crazy to see. She can just come out and just crush like that. And also, Rye dominated the men's 400 hurdles as well right before that, which was pretty sick. So rounded out a very, very, very good finish to a big USA trials. And most importantly,
what we've all been waiting for.
Should we get
for?
To the prediction contest?
The results.
I mean, I don't really care.
What do we win?
Ollie doesn't care, but he's already seen the results. So what does that tell you?
I came last or I won.
Third place.
So in a valiant third place was Ollie Hall. Oh, wait, I should say this first. So shout out to Nico Davilliers for putting together this spreadsheet. And the scoring system that they used was 1 point if we got the athlete that we picked was in the top three, but we got them in the wrong position. It was 2 points if we got their position spot on. And then there was one bonus point awarded for guessing the entire podium, but in not the correct positions, and 2 bonus points for getting the entire podium fully correct. And in the end scores were in a valiant third place with 27 points was Ollie. Well done, Ollie. And then it was actually with 34 points apiece, a tie between.
We tied?
Yeah, between us.
Well, he's so disappointed. Look how disappointed Jordan is. He thought he won. He's disappointed. Look, he looks disappointed. Well, I was only what?
That's amazing.
7 points off. That's not that crazy.
What's the tie? We need a tiebreaker.
We do need a tiebreaker.
To run the 3K at Luzerne.
Did either of us pick any podium 100%?
No.
That would have been a good tiebreaker.
We had some. I think we had. We each. Ooh, actually, you had. No, we each also had two podium, but not fully correct.
The women's,
so we tied on that as well.
Women's 1500. I think I had ESP, then Nikki, then Emily Mackay.
Who did I have?
Yeah. Yeah. We all had. You had. Oh, you had Heather McLean coming second, but then you had ESP first, Nikki third.
Ah.
Yeah, you did get that podium, George. Yeah, it was a close one. It was a very close one.
Good game.
So maybe we'll come up with a tiebreaker when we're all back together. How about that?
See how many Radlers you can drink in an hour when you're in Switzerland.
Radler.
That sounds fun.
0% Radlers?
Yeah, 0%.
My favorite, grapefruit flavor. Yum.
Shit, those are good.
Those are so good.
That's what you have to look forward to.
I'm actually really. I know Gara's really excited because he's going to put out a lot of francs to go to the kebab place down the road, and just hit that place up for lunch every day.
Well, worth it.
Would eat so many kebabs.
They're pretty good though.
They're decent. They're like, it's the only fast food in St. Moritz, right?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
So. That's it. That's it for this episode. I think, is there anything else?
Another 4 years until another trials recap.
Yeah, another 4 years. And the next trials recap will be Lost Angles. So that'll be kind of crazy. yeah.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. Well, best of luck, George. Everyone, wish him luck. Race is on Sunday afternoon, Europe time. So probably right in the morning for the US, right? Yeah, that would be.
Yeah.
Is that what they bring in Lord of the Rings, the Pinami? They carried it to the Oscars? Is that, it's like a green stone?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to carry it. And it apparently, it makes you, it promises that you'll get back to New Zealand. It's like luck. Is that right, Pinami? Is that, am I saying that correctly?
Pinami.
Punamu. Make sure everyone carries their Punamu for George.
Thanks. Yep.
That's so kind. So kind. But that's it, I think, for episode.
Yeah.
I believe it's episode 100.
We're going to be jet lagged in St. Moritz.
We'll just be sitting in the rain.
Yeah. Throwback.
Wait. My feet are so cold right now.
Yeah,
I'm wearing my toe spaces, though.
Oh.
Foot content.
Feet reveal. Yeah.
Love that.
If he made it this far in the podcast, then I think you deserve that.
Dexter.
Yeah.
I think that's probably.
Yeah. Alright, well that's it. Episode 144. Thank you so much everyone for listening to this one. And we look forward to seeing you all again next week when we'll all be back together. See ya.